This is a conference finals week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Edwards puts his head down, drives to the rim. Layup may have been tipped. It's high off the glass, cleared by San Antonio. Tap to Castle, lob to the rim. Alley-oop dunk down for Carter Bryant.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, conference finals week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan in the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Happy Monday.
What is happening?
How you feeling over there?
Got a little raspy during that one. I'm feeling fantastic. How's everybody's weekend?
Good weekend.
Good little weekend.
Crappy weather. Good weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't very good weather. It cleaned out yesterday a little bit. That was nice.
Freezing last night.
It was chilly, dude. It's still getting cold in the middle of the night. You wake up in the morning, you want to leave the house wearing not too much, because by the time we leave, it's like, you know, 60 degrees and sunny outside.
Yeah, but layers,
it's
still layers 40s, are man. Key. Still layers 40s. Are key.
I don't really, I just, you know, you run to the car quick. To each way, from the house and then into work. And by the time you get in here, we got a nice warm studio. You get out of here, I'm good. Shorts and a t-shirt on the way home.
Did you have a weekend?
I did have a good weekend. Yeah. They had a big Selwood cleanup day on Sunday, or Saturday it was. And I can't tell you how impactful that is in my life. We have so much stuff piled up that we needed to get rid of and dump. And they basically
like spring cleaning.
So it's basically like the neighborhood association puts it on and the local garbage company brings the bins down and it's right next to my house.
Really?
And so it's just, oh, dude, I was back and forth. There's people like wheeling old broken down barbecues down the street in front of my house. Like wheeling them down there. And you go, dump all, dude, we have so much stuff piled up that we need to get rid of. And finally, after years of not using it, RIP. To our treadmill. The treadmill got dumped this week.
You got rid of the treadmill?
Yeah, it was starting to squeak and breaking down a little bit anyways, and I'm like,
why didn't you just fix it?
Because we don't use it, and it takes up space.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of those buys. It was good during COVID when gym shut down. I think that's when we bought it.
Sure.
First 3 years of the treadmill got a lot of life, and we used it a ton, and then, you know, life gets in the way and things happen, and so that thing finally got out of the man cave, and it's wide open spaces now. The kids are taking over all the space.
How much did you spend on it?
I got it on Costco, so I got a good deal. I want to say it was like $500 during COVID. It wasn't super.
Oh, $500's not too bad.
It wasn't. I didn't get like a high end. It wasn't, you know.
I was asking, top of the line. You're just throwing it away?
No, it wasn't quite that much. They had a discount deal. I think they knew everybody's working out from home during COVID. And if you're a Costco member, you get extra percentage off. So I remember buying it and hearing people tell me that it's just going to end up, you know, being something you hang clothes on, which at times was true. And after a number of years of not using it regularly, it's like, why do we have this giant thing taking up all this space?
So you've dumped the treadmill. I've had this opinion for as long as I've thought about exercise.
Yeah.
Whatever age that was.
Sure.
Now, some people, this is going to be controversial. I have found the treadmill and the indoor running machines the most overrated workout machine you can possibly own.
Agree. Running, now that I've been through the experience, I agree completely.
Well, running in your neighborhood is 80 times better,
without a doubt,
than just running on this in the same spot for, you know, I'm gonna run 2 miles. It right. feels like it's an hour when
it
you
does.
Run 2 miles.
It feels like it's endless because
you look
you're not,
down,
yeah.
You run like a tenth of a mile, and you're like, dude, what?
How is that possible?
I've been running for 10 minutes.
I haven't gone anywhere right
now. I'm not
now.
This slow.
No. And then you look at the speeds, too, and you're like, am I really running at that slow of a speed? I got to pick up my pace a little bit. Why am I at a 5 right now?
It's a massive machine yes. that's not the easiest to move around.
Nope, not at all.
And, I know people like this in my life, and I'm glad you're admitting this. I know people that have one, and it's been folded up or not used God knows how long.
Don't use it. For the size of the equipment and how big and how much space it takes up, not worth the purchase in any way, shape, or form.
So I know that we live in a rainy, you know, cold, wet state, but I've always wondered about this. Now, look, COVID's different, right? That's a different time, so I'm not really asking this of you per se. I kind
of that was one
it.
Of those, like, I was in a workout phase going into COVID.
Sure.
We were getting married the next year, so I had this goal, like, let's lose all this weight. And so that was it was a buy of, like, let's keep this train on the tracks here.
Well,
it certainly did not happen.
And there's people that have sourdough bread makers out there
exactly.
for COVID, you know? Like, COVID is a different thing.
It was a weird moment in time.
I more have always wondered, like, of all the things you could spend money on, for a home gym setup, if you went that route.
Right.
It's just the one to me that feels like the biggest ripoff.
Yeah.
Like, if you want an incline, I could incline, Sprague. Buy a stair machine. Right. You want to incline? Do right. a stair machine. That's a real workout.
I'm not buying a stair machine, but the point is valid.
You know, you want a bench press?
It's right there for you.
They have that makes sense.
They have smaller ones, too, now. Like, I don't know how easy they are to run on, but they have treadmills now that you could buy. That
they're
are
like tiny little.
They're like 2 feet long, yep. And you can store. You just wheel them under a bed.
That I've seen.
And there's like a little stand-up thing that you can technically pull
also
up and hold on to them.
Also seems dangerous, though, if you end up tripping on that thing because you got nothing to grab. It's just this little 2-foot board. It's like, oh.
If you go down, you're going down.
Buddy. Right.
There's no saving you at that point.
But like dumbbells, a bench press, maybe the ab tower.
Sure.
A leg press. These are all things that, like, sure, you can kind of duplicate naturally, I guess, if you want to go in the back and bench press a log.
You'll go grab a big stick.
But, like, a treadmill is literally just something I can just go do that.
You can go do it anywhere.
Go out my door every day and run 3 miles. I don't need to do it standing still in my garage.
I have now become another case study of why they are not a good purchase.
They're not a good purchase.
It's just they're too big. They take up too much space, yep. And you don't use them that much.
Amen.
And then last year, we moved. We're a block away from a park now. I could just go run. I could run like an easy 2-mile loop down around the park by our house. And be done like
There's probably a path that goes around all that's a around. Quarter mile. And you're like, I'm going to run this 4 times. I'll get to look at the outside. And
I haven't timed the exact distance of it, but it's probably about a half of a mile all the way around. You do it twice, there's a mile, you're done. See you later.
You're done.
Now my run's over.
Yes.
And I'm not running in the rain anyway. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not using it. It was just, it felt so good to get rid of it because it's taken up so much space. And I'm like, we took one load down and then it was like, I got some more stuff I could dump here. This is kind of handy having right here. Let's throw some more stuff in the truck.
Yeah, could you explain this to me? Because we don't have this out in Clackamas.
Sure. This is the beauty of Portland. It's why we pay our tax, baby. This is why we do it for stuff like this.
There's your tough tax. So the Sellwood community just the gets neighborhood, a bunch of dumpsters?
They reach out to the local garbage company. Shout out to the Heibergs, good family friends. And they bring the giant dumpster bins down, like the big
metal ones.
10-foot tall ones.
Yeah.
And they're just stacked up in this big parking lot. And so they look at the back of your truck and they say, $30. Hey, $40. And they just judge based on...
Oh, so you do pay a dump fee.
You pay a dump fee, and it goes into the neighborhood association coffers to pay for stuff around the neighborhood, and then you dump your stuff.
So you have an HOA?
It's not an HOA. It's not technically that, but there's community centers. There's, there's little projects and stuff that they do around the neighborhood that the money goes to.
Okay.
That's not, I don't know if we ever utilize it, but at least it's going to a good cause.
Yeah, you at least have some community-based thing.
It's going into some sort of community-funded activity.
It'd be really funny if you dug into your taxes and found out you were paying for that tax, and they're taxing you again.
On top of it.
And you're like, wait, $40.
Some rich Don at the top's taking all the money, skimming 20% of all the dump fees.
I just like the image of a random guy just dragging a whole barbecue, and it's like,
dude, I was cracking up. It was so funny.
The plastic wheels barely rolling. He's like, hey, I did it.
I'm out in my driveway loading. I'm like, what is that sound? There's a really loud sound coming down the sidewalk right now, and I look over, and there was back-to-back people just the whole way down. And that's not a quiet walk. Everybody can hear it outside their house, but they got stuff to dump. They're getting rid of it.
Now, I know, like, the, what is the thing called? The smoker? Is it the egg?
The green egg? That's one of them, yeah.
Like, I know that is a very famous barbecue that people use. And I'll tell you this as a Blackstone user.
Yeah.
They have not improved, I think, the technology and ability to move barbecues efficiently. No. Like with the Blackstone, they have a handle on the Blackstone.
Yes.
The problem is if you have a propane tank, the tray that is supposed to hold stuff next to it, it pops up and then folds down, but it won't fold down all the way because the propane tank blocks it.
So it's only folding down a part of the
way. So it's only folding down part of the way. So your hand is kind of in this weird little... in-between space that doesn't feel great as you're lugging it around on the handle.
Right, it's not easy to move.
And so, like, but if you grab the tray to move it, the problem is sometimes you accidentally lift the tray up and now it's loose and it folds down.
Yeah.
There's not, like, we need to, like, improve for regular barbecues, Blackstones.
The mobility of
them. The mobility factor, I think, is an underrated issue that they need to fix. The green eggs, the small charcoals, I can't speak to those.
Those things are not, they're not easy to move, too.
They're weird shapes.
They're weird shapes, and they're heavy pieces of equipment.
Yes.
Now, I have a bullseye smoker, which it does have wheels, so it's not the hardest in the world to move, but it's heavier than hell. and moving it, it does, like, you always worry about something internally getting thrown off too, because you can't move it smoothly. I'm not lifting both sides of it.
Right.
You push it on, and then it's like bouncing around. You're like, dude, some sort of, you know, one of these little pebbles are going to go somewhere that I don't want it to go, or one of my little wood chips is going to get lodged in somewhere. I'm always worried because they tell you if it tips over in a certain direction, then it's not going to work for a while. You got to like reset it. So you don't want to, don't let that thing fall over, because then you're screwed.
Well, so the Blackstone has wheels, and it has like wheels that lock.
Yeah.
You press it down so it doesn't
move. I feel like
move.
The Blackstone's probably lighter than most smokers too.
It's not very heavy.
Yeah.
Look, this is a small first world complaint I have here, but I've just noticed it about barbecues, as you mentioned, a neighbor towing a barbecue.
Right. It was one of those old school propane ones that they were wheeling down, you know.
Plastic wheels.
We've all seen plastic wheels.
Piece of crap. You know,
yeah.
You can hear it squeaking because all the rust.
Okay, it was from 1997. Let's get rid of this thing, honey.
But like, I maneuvered mine in and out of the garage, and I've just noticed that, like, I can only turn it if I go a certain angle. It doesn't turn the other way.
Right.
So I have to, like, pull out and then push back in and put, you know, to turn it. Then I pull back out.
So you're trying to back in a boat almost.
Yeah, kinda,
when you're like, nope, that's not the right angle. Nope, this way. Nope, ah, dang it. Nope, let's move back.
Right.
There we go.
Right,
now
right,
we got
right,
it to
right,
the spot
right.
we want it to be
in. I feel like you could just make that technology a little easier is all I'm saying.
Getting wheels on both sides of it would be nice. As long as they can lock and it's not going to run away on you, that's obviously not something that you want. But if you could get wheels on both sides, I feel like that would impact it greatly. But let me lock the wheels in. I want it to be like a, like, let me have like my big suitcase that is now, that used to be you'd have to tilt it over when you pull in your big suitcase, right? You have to lean it forward. Now the big suitcase we got, it's got four wheels. It's total. So you're just pushing that thing along the ground
the entire way. Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to get from point A to point B in an airport.
So the Blackstone's propane tank goes on the side of it. If I was to retweak, and maybe they've created a new version. I don't check the Blackstone website often.
Sure.
I would, underneath there's like a whole tray, and it's where you put all your crap.
Yeah, all the stuff.
I don't need that much space.
No.
I would put the propane tank, design it to where it can go right under, and then cut the tray in like a half.
Aha.
That way, if I pull the tray on the side down, I have
it's
easy
gonna go
access.
All the
it's
going
to go all the way down. I got access to the handle. Yeah, That's how I design it.
People are telling you to just take the propane tank off your Blackstone Sprague to move it. But then it's a pain in the butt.
That's my point. I'm moving it maybe 3 feet.
Right.
You're not moving it far. So I'm going to undo the whole propane process for 3 feet.
That's a pain in the butt.
I'd rather just move it so I complain about it on the air with you guys. That's what I need to do this for, is just so I can bitch and moan about it to you.
This is how we operate.
At 6:10 a.m. I'm like, let me tell you my Blackstone issues in my life.
This is the problems that we're dealing with, all right? You got to make things a little more challenging for yourself around home.
Well, and the scam they've gotten all of us in, no matter what you use, if you're a smoker, you're a regular barbecue, you're a Blackstone griddle guy. What I'll tell you, the scam they've gotten us on is the attachments. They get you on these, like, if you're a smoker, you can put your pork butt squarely on, close the damn egg, and then it'll, you know, 7 hours later, it's nice and perfect. But now they're like, what if you bought these attachments, though, that clip on and it rotates, For only $39.99, your pork butt's now rotating. And before you know
it's a rotisserie chicken. What are we doing here?
You're looking at your smoker, and you've spent an additional $400 on these contraptions that they could have just thrown on for an extra $100.
You don't need the rotisserie for a pork butt.
I'm just saying. No. They're going to offer
only
it.
Thing, the only ex- I've bought two extra things. I've bought two extra things for my Traeger.
What was it?
One was kind of a metal tray that was more solid. It just had little holes in it. It didn't have the big grill slats. And it's really good for like shrimp and fish, things that tend to maybe fall apart or could fall through, or vegetables asparagus.
Okay.
So, and it's, but it's got holes in it so the smoke gets through. It's just smaller.
I got one of those. Yeah. That's a good purchase.
That, and then the only other thing I bought was the drumstick rack. So the drumsticks hang up and down.
See what I'm saying? This is something that can fold down and already exists, but they've got, how much did you spend on that?
$14.95.
It's another $15 right into Traeger's pocket. They figured, you know what? This drumstick thing could be killer. You're right. It could be.
I don't make drumsticks enough in order to get something specific to cook drumsticks. I'm not anti-drumstick.
I'm more of a thigh breast man.
I'm more of a thigh breast guy or a wing guy.
I don't buy. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I don't really buy drumsticks.
Here's the funny thing. You go buy like wings at, you get the big bag at Costco.
Right.
They're like $2.99 to $3.50 a pound. And essentially, a drumstick is just a giant wing.
No doubt. It's just a bigger wing.
Yeah. I find the tendon annoying.
They're 99 cents a pound.
Yeah. They're trying to get rid of those wings, man.
Are you guys big believers in, like, because I know people that are very, they're this way. They're very, they have, if they have a brand, they have to buy the brand.
Camera. I'm giant this morning.
Yeah,
this
you're giant. I'm off center again. I don't know where to sit half the time. My camera moves around. I look tiny again. Why are you so big?
Because I'm large and in charge.
They call me large. Giant. You're his little brother, and I'm out here just going to get eaten again.
They call me Large Marge, man.
But I know people that do this. Like when I go to a Toyota dealer for my electric car, I'll like have a little time before my Lyft comes to pick me up. So what I'll do is I'll walk around, and they have like a little Toyota swag shop, basically.
Oh, there you go.
All the different pieces you can put on your car.
And I'm like, you know how many people buy like a Tundra or a Tacoma, and they're like, I gotta buy this TRD, Matt. And they like very brand oriented. Like if you went to my Blackstone, you'd see like two Blackstone items, but you'd also see three other tools that have no Blackstone affiliation whatsoever.
No.
Where some people, if you buy a Traeger, everything has to be Traeger. Traeger this, Traeger that.
Yeah.
Everything. Are you guys that way with
it? I'm not that way at all,
so
in any way, shape, or form.
Ghetto with it and
the
mix
only
and match?
Thing I've ever bought, and it was not a product made by the company that made my smoker, is the vegetable kind of great grill that you can put in. Like, that's the only thing that I've ever bought. But it was not a like sponsor deal through my smoker. I don't ever go buy anything for it. It's actually almost every piece of equipment is the original piece of equipment, and it still works pretty solid. So I haven't had any issues with it.
Yeah.
And that is definitely a problem in a lot of areas, because I see people do that with their cars and trucks. I think golf clubs is another great
golf
example.
Golf clubs
of that.
Are great.
Like everything's got to be tailor-made or Callaway or.
No, it doesn't. Right.
Dude, my whole bag is mix and match, man.
Yep.
Got some Callaway wedges. I got a tailor-made. Like it's just, you're all over the map, dude.
I would say I'm kind of this way in one regard with, and I've been this way forever. When I had a really rough experience in fourth grade, is when I would say it changed. The whole, like, multi-sports apparels at one time.
Nike socks with
like
Adidas shoes.
Like, I had Adidas socks one day with Nike shoes and, like, a Reebok shirt, and everybody made fun of me. And I really, since then, I've been scarred.
Yeah, you have to wear all Nike or all Adidas.
Well, it's no Adidas. Yeah, it's all Nike.
All Nike.
It's Nike or something else. You know
what
I mean?
I have to change up now because, obviously, when I do pilot stuff, they're all Nike. When the Hops went into the new ballpark, they cut a deal, and so all their stuff is Adidas now.
Got a
new sponsorship with their partner.
Three stripes, dude. It's a thing. It's a real thing.
Between those two, that is a definite real thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can wear something, you know, that's lesser known.
Like if nobody would judge you for that.
Uniqlo, or whatever that is.
Sure.
Tennis shoes, nobody would bat an eye. But yeah, you walk in with some swooshes all of a sudden.
There's a company called what is it called?
Yeah.
UNICEF? What are we doing here?
No.
Are these the 55 plus shoes?
No. This is tennis. It's out of tennis. I think, I don't know if Federer's involved with it or something.
You're buying tennis shoes, huh?
UNI.
There you go.
QLO or something weird.
Unique Flow?
Something like that.
I see. Yeah, I see. Okay. I've never seen this brand.
You got the Air Federers?
Dude.
Are those the Federer 2s or the Federer
3s? No,
I don't.
On his backhand, dude.
I got Nikes, but I had to go buy some Adidas now that the Hops are all Adidas.
Yeah. I'll do that sometimes where you show up to a round of golf and people will make fun of you. And I love poking back immediately. Because I'm the guy that will wear like Adidas shoes with Nike socks, Adidas shorts, a tailor-made hat, and then a rant. Like,
golf is a weird one to dress for.
Miss and match in literally every item of clothing will be something different. And then people will give me a hard time. Like, what am I, sponsored by Nike? Am I not going to get my endorser's check this week from my local round at Eastmoreland right now? Like, what do you think the ramifications are here?
Is it largely people you end up beating in the round anyway?
Yes,
my mismatch ass.
Exactly.
I'm a look good, feel good, play good guy, but I'm not worried about, well, I'm wearing my Adidas shoes today, but my golf socks are Nike. I do love Adidas golf shorts, but I don't always wear a Nike shirt.
Like, press Travis Matthews stuff.
I feel a little odd. And then they slice
the opening tee shot 90 degrees.
Nice white belt, bitch.
Yeah.
A little odd when I step to the tee box and it's like I'm wearing my Costco Kirkland shorts that don't say Kirkland, but damn, they are Kirkland. I gotta be honest with you.
I bet they're incredibly comfortable.
They're very comfortable.
Affordable as well.
My Callaway or TaylorMade hat or Titleist hat, and then like a Nike shirt that doesn't really fit me very well.
Isn't it funny that kind of stuff? You'll think about it when you get dressed.
Yeah.
You're like, why am I? Who cares?
But see, of all the outfits I wear, work, parties, dates. You know, the only thing I actually like plan my outfit for is golf.
Yeah.
I do. I like lay it on the bed like I'm getting ready for prom. And I'm like, this kind of goes that. Maybe that's that. No, we got to go with that hat. Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I care so much. I'm a terrible golfer.
Our inner lady comes out when we're playing golf. Does. Golf outfits are a serious deal, dude.
Like, if you're good.
If you're playing at some sort of regular and you're getting out there.
I think that's where guys are most judgy in the world.
Golfing.
Yeah, on the golf course.
Interesting. Basketball can be one, too.
I could see that, yeah. If you're still running in those circles, I could see that. We were at the park last night,
yeah.
And there was an adult league baseball game going on, and I saw a guy wearing a sleeve, and I really wanted to judge.
I've seen that. And he'll tell you there's elbow tendonitis or something, but you're like, no, there's not.
No, there's not.
You're channeling.
I don't blame you. I was that way when I was 13, but like, this is adult league baseball. Like, come on, man. You need a sleeve to play second base tonight?
All right. Well, good morning. Happy Monday to everybody out there. I don't know if you guys enjoyed the sports weekend, but let's kind of start. We've got a pretty good conference finals in one and maybe interesting one in the other, about a dud game seven. So a lot to get to in the sports world. Let's start with the weekend that was Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan. 628 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. What do we rate the sports weekend? How do we feel about the old sports weekend? We heard from Tommy D. We'll talk about that with Eric Gunderson at 7. We'll dive into the audio clips. He did a podcast with Max Kellerman and Rich Paul.
Tom Dundon. Old Cheapo's back.
Well, there's people out there that if hockey really is not your sport, you don't really care about baseball because, well, it's so early and golf isn't your sport. I would argue that was your biggest thing of the weekend.
I would give the weekend a C mine, nah, D plus weekend.
I kind of felt the same way. I thought the Habs and Sabres game was electric.
The start of it was crazy. Nuts. You get a big lead and then it swings the other way, but then it ends up being a 5-goal win. The third period was irrelevant. So you got two great periods and then one where you're like, whatever, this thing's over.
It was a bit of a bummer ending for such a great start to hockey. I was like, dude, this is crazy.
Montreal felt like they're going to clinch on home ice. We're going to the conference finals. And Buffalo said, how about 7 unanswered goals? How about no? At least we get a game 7 tonight. But yeah, the third period sucked.
Game 7 in Detroit Cleveland was, you could turn it off at the third quarter.
Dude, we went to the park. We ate dinner a little bit earlier yesterday. We're like, that's nice. Beautiful evening. Let's go walk around the park, hang out for a bit. I don't need to see the first half of the game. I walk in the door after we get back from our walk. I turn the television on like, all right, here we go. Game 7. Let's dial in for the second half here as we wind down our weekend. And I'm like, all right, guess we don't need to watch this one.
Turn that off.
This thing's over. They're up by 20 at halftime.
I love your honest approach you've been doing lately for the NBA playoffs. And this is not a fault of you.
Sure.
Because I think a lot of people are operating, I don't need to watch the first half.
It's 5 o'clock on a Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, and it's on Prime. If you want me to watch the first half, put it on network television.
All right,
don't hide the game on Prime if you want me to watch the first half.
They're done.
Yeah, it's over. Like, there's no, this is it.
That game was cooked.
Yeah. The whole weekend was kind of bad weather, and then the clouds finally parted. I'm like, let's go for it. Let's go do something. I'm not sitting in the house from 5 on the rest of the evening and wasting the last couple of hours of my weekend.
And then the PGA Championship happened, and you told me Smalley was going to fall to the back, and he was leading after the third. I started laughing.
He technically did fall.
I watched the third round. I'm like, dude, Dirt, this is not aging well.
Yeah, his third round was – that's where I thought it's like, oh, maybe he'll stick around. But
I mean, he stuck around. It wasn't like he faded out of the
obscurity. I can't root for a guy that wears sleeves.
You're anti-sleeves on the golf course guy?
I can't do it.
Now, what if it's cold weather, though?
Cold weather's different. Sleeves and all. It was 83 degrees yesterday.
Yeah, it finally warmed up on the weekend there.
Get out of here with your sleeves.
As long as we clarify, because I've been a sleeves on the course guy in cold weather.
Cold weather, you got to do what you got to do. You got to wear layers. You got to, like, no issues, all right? I'm not going to judge you at all for your cold weather attire. When it's 85 degrees, if you show up to a golf course wearing compression sleeves, we're going to have issues.
Well,
it ruined my weekend.
And then Aaron Rye won, and I
here's what I'll say.
I'm not going to be the poo-poo or the event.
It's okay,
I will
poo-poo.
Admit to you that I wasn't really in the front of my mind.
That's okay.
But I'll let you golf nerds nerd out.
Here's what I'll say.
Yes.
It was really disappointing. And I mean, I no beef with Aaron Rye. Great story, right? I didn't know a lot about. I've known Aaron Rye. He's been on the PGA Tour forever. He stands out like a sore thumb. He wears two gloves, and he's got like 1998.com Windows update logos on his gear, right? Like, he stands out when you see him play, and you immediately judge the iron covers and the two gloves. Like, those are two faux pas for a lot of people. You dig into the backstory of why he does it. It's not, you know, it makes you feel like a jackass for judging him. The gloves was because he grew up in cold weather in England. I guess he got comfortable with it. And then the iron covers because he grew up in a poor family. And his dad finally bought him a nice set of clubs. And he would clean his clubs every night after he practiced because that was not an easy thing for their family to be able to afford. And so he does it to remind himself of his upbringing. Now, let's get that out of the way. Okay? Great story. Congratulations on your career highlight. It ruined my weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
It ruined my weekend.
Absolutely.
You can judge about what some of the names were on the leaderboard. It was hilarious to see the last two guys. The final group had nobody following them all day. Nah. Everybody was with everybody. Like, they were on the 13th hole. Legitimately, there were like 17 people around the tee box for the last group of a major because everybody was up following Rahm and Rory and all these guys who were actually, you know, big name guys who were a few holes ahead of them. I have not been that excited for a final round of a PGA Championship in a long time.
Yeah, it looked like it's going to be a big old horse race.
There was a moment before Smalley got to 6-under at the end of Saturday where there was like 39 people within three shots of the lead.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And there was a lot of no names in there, but a lot of big-time names in there. Yep. And it was like, all right, here we go. This is going to be awesome. And it was nothing. There was just nothing happening on Sunday. Nobody could make birdies. Everybody hovered around the same territory. Nobody was able to go on a run and cut. Oh, here we go. So-and-so made a couple of birds in a row. And then Aaron Rye just kind of strangled the tournament out in the back nine. He played fantastic. Congrats to him, but it ruined my weekend.
The round, I would say, because when you read about post-PGA championships or any major, like I will scour the interwebs for good stories.
Yeah.
The best story I came around was, once upon a time, him and his dad were on a practice putting green watching the pros do it. Nobody knew his skill set was building in that moment.
Who, Aaron Rice?
Yeah, because he hit the long putt on, what was it, 17?
Yes, yeah, so he drained a long one.
So that PGA Championship, for me, and I can only speak for me,
yep,
sucked. But I was told this morning, I'm not a golf fan.
No, you're
not.
You
don't like golf.
You're not a golf fan.
I was poo-pooed on my poo-pooing of the event.
What made it hurt even more for me was that I bet on Rory. You ready for this? I bet Rory shot his 4-over-74 on Thursday.
Yeah, it's a good time to bet him.
I put $6 on Rory. You know what the buyout of that or the payout of that bet if it would have hit was?
I'm going to guess he was,
for a $6 bet,
I'm going to say he was probably what, plus $1,800?
$530 payout for a $6 bet. At one point, when Smalley made a double bogey on six or somewhere in there in the front nine, where he came back down and the leaders were at five and he was at 400, he's one shot off the lead. I open up my DraftKings app just to see what that thing
was
looked
the cash
like.
Out?
Could you cash out?
The cash out option for my $6 bet was $75. He was a shot off the lead with two par fives to go.
That's so much money,
and
though.
It's a $500 payout.
$6 bet, you said?
$6 bet to win 500, a cash out option of 70. And then by the time
we're killing you if you cash out,
and then he wins because I cost myself $400.
But we're also going to kill you if you don't cash out.
Because at that point, he had made the birdie early to get to 4-under. He was playing. He missed a birdie putt. Like, Rory was right there with an opportunity, and then he messed up the ninth hole, which is a par five. And I'm like, that buyout or the payout dropped, or buyback or whatever they call it, from like, you know, $70 down to $28. And I'm like, well, at that point, it's not worth it. Let's hold on to the ticket. So that made it sting even more.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking more to the doesn't watch every tournament golf person out there.
I see your,
that's all I can
your
do.
Reaction to the outcome is totally fine. Aaron Rye winning a major championship is a forgettable major championship.
I mean,
you could ask me in 5 years who won the PGA that year, and maybe I'll be able to tell you because of the two glove thing. But this will go down as one of those like, oh yeah, that's right, he did win that major.
It's an off the beaten path major winner, and that happens from time to time. That's what that sport can generate. But as I told Swag, it was the Pistons Spurs finals.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to really talk about it. There's nothing exciting about Aaron Rye. I was trying to wrap my brain around, was he a friend of the program? Did we interview Aaron Rye, and we're mixing his name up with somebody else?
We did not have it. I don't think we've ever had Aaron Rye.
I don't believe we've had Aaron Rye.
I couldn't even remember which Aaron I was thinking of. Was it Rye? Was it Stye? I don't know who it was.
The only professional golfers that I know we've had on the show, Tommy Two Gloves, talk about Two Gloves, Gainey, we had on years ago. He did not have a long professional career, or I guess PGA Tour career. We had Carlos Ortiz on the show. I think you missed that one. I don't think you were at that show.
He won the first of the Winco tournament.
I missed that
Winco
one.
Yeah, I think you were out for you were doing the Hood to Coast or something that weekend, and that was, so we had him on because he won the, or he went on to win the tournament.
He went on to win
the week we had him on. And then our guy Kashmir Keith Mitchell, we had
on. I remember
from
Kat,
the driving range. He's a big Georgia fan, and we gave him a hard time.
And
about,
now Bryce Fisher as well.
Fisher.
I think he finished dead last.
He might have beaten Bryson though.
I think score-wise, I looked on Saturday, and I think he was dead last.
He might. Okay. Well,
I hope he wasn't.
Maybe not.
No, Dirt and Sprague jinx, it's alive.
Either way, he played in a PGA Championship.
I just was thinking, like, and look, this is not a barometer here that you have to use, but I like to use it. On my ESPN and Athletic homepages, just the homepage,
yeah,
it wasn't even one of the top stories mentioned. And that was at 5:45 after he had won about, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours after he won?
That's a little weird, yeah. Like, and even like, if it's a no-name guy, it should still be at least on, like, the, on the leaderboard there.
They're kind of telling me what I think, and that's... Yeah. This is not going to be the highest rated PGA.
The PGA Championship is always fighting for what is our identity, how do we stand out, and this year was unique because it was there was a lot of debate and controversy about the pin setup and the low scores. It had played more like a U.S. Open for a shorter course. Like, it generated a lot of buzz inside the golf world throughout the course of the weekend, which sometimes the PGA Championship doesn't. They were just missing one of their guys going on a run on Sunday. If Rom gets hot on the back nine and wins, it's a memorable PGA Championship. If Rory wins back-to-back majors, it's a memorable PGA Championship. Xander was in the mix. Cam Smith,
we heard from Cam Smith, Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, Patrick Reed.
Yeah, a lot of guys in contention. There's none of them could get hot.
All
on
of them
Sunday.
Finished.
It was Aaron Rye.
At least tied within the top 10.
Yeah.
I know I'm splitting hairs here with you guys because you're different. Mm-hmm. I think for most people, though, like if I say Aaron Rye and Patty Reed, I think it's kind of the same thing in people's minds.
Patty Reed, sure. I'll give you that. That's
but the other names, no doubt about
Aaron
it.
Aaron Rye is like J.J. Spaun winning the U.S. Open.
Yeah, no, yes.
Because he did it in similar fashion. He made a miraculous just drop the mic putt on 17. Same thing Spaun did late. Well, he made that.
Yeah, but 50-footer or whatever.
Yeah. And so at least he won it. It wasn't like guys were flailing around. Everybody else was kind of, you know, struggling.
Stuck in neutral, yeah.
You had a golf course that we hadn't seen, I think a decade ago, it was used, Aronimink was used for one of the FedEx Cup playoffs.
2018.
But it hadn't hosted a major since Gary Player in 62, and I thought it stood up well. I was impressed with the golf course. And
if you have pros complaining throughout the course of the week about how hard it is,
you've done a good job.
I agree with
like,
that.
This is unfair. Like, no, it's not. You're a professional.
Because there was all sorts of chatter early in the week. Well, we got these big, wide fairways, and people are going to shoot 18 under, and it's going
to
look like a
rake. That was put to bed early in the first round. They realized that was not going to be the case. And then, yet, like, locally, the Ducks lost in softball.
They did, yeah. Baseball team won, though, at least 2 out of 3.
Baseball team won, and then the Timbers got blanked by Messi, and then you're thorny 0-0 draw, just nothing worse than a sport.
No, that's the worst thing in sports.
It was a D-plus weekend. 0-0 draw is the worst.
How'd the Preakness go? Did anybody watch the Preakness?
Nobody cares. Yeah. The Derby winner didn't race.
He didn't even run in the race.
Like, D-plus weekend is a proper grade, I think.
Not a lot going on. Game 7s were duds. Game 6 were duds. PGA Championship winner was a dud. A lot of duds this weekend.
But things to look forward to. We'll get to Tom Dundon and Gundy at 7. A little bit of a peekaboo on something. I know we'll talk about it at the final hour of the show, or maybe the third. I don't know. But something I want to peekaboo coming up next. I'll tell you what it is. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Some fun little things that happened over the weekend. One was watching Bobby Witt Jr. confuse a St. Louis Cardinal. Did you guys see that play on Saturday?
The IQ level of that was...
so when you
see guys do that, there was a famous Ichiro one years ago where he knew a ball was over his head and he pretended as if he was going to catch it.
Yeah.
And then let the ball hit off of the wall behind
him. So it bounced right to him.
Everybody was tagging up and then he turned around and got... I think everybody only advanced one base because he's standing there with his glove up. When you see those kind of plays, man, you appreciate it because to have that wherewithal in the middle of a game to do something like that is next level. Even with the third base coach yelling at him, go, he doesn't have the ball.
He's just holding the glove.
He's like, I got it.
No,
I'm not going anywhere.
That was a really good play in fooling a base runner. And then I sent you guys this on Friday. Talk about a headline. Montreal strippers call for strike during Canadian Grand Prix weekend.
Amen, brother.
I mean, what a
stick
headline.
It to the man, all right? You think you're going to bring your billionaires in here for a Grand Prix race and you're not going to pay our strippers what they deserve?
You ain't taxing this pussycat.
No.
No, you ain't.
Give me livable wages, all right? Give me a pay increase. Good for them. Stick it to the man. Stand up for what's right.
Have fun at those clubs and those strippers.
How disappointed were all those billionaires if that ends up holding and there's an actual strike?
Is there a bougier sport than F1?
Ooh.
I can't. There's sports I can't speak to. Like, is cricket bougie?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Polo's got to be bougie.
Yeah.
Polo's for sure.
But, like, of sports that are in the lexicon of sport, it has to be F1.
How do you decipher between that? That's a good point. Polo and F1.
Like, F1
is sailing.
Polo's a get together.
Right.
Sailing is an event.
Dressage is bougie. Also, not a sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Yeah, again, an event.
Right.
F1 is a sport.
The idea of going to an F1, I just, you know, never say never, because if somebody gave me tickets for
free, I'd do the 500.
Would you, like the Indy 500?
Yeah, because it's a big circle.
That I would do. The F1, like, you don't
see them. The track, yeah, the tracks where you disappear, like, what am I watching?
Of all the things to go to and spend an insane amount of money on, that might be the bottom of my list. I'm not even a tennis guy. I'd much rather, like, tennis, not even close.
Wimbledon would be dope.
Or US, any of them. Yeah, I'd rather go to, because you're sitting there watching them go back and forth, playing at night. Be great. If you're an at an F1 race and you pay a lot of money to get in, how much time do you actually spend seeing the cars?
Right.
Drive by you.
It depends the course, but yeah.
Sure. If you're in a straightaway, maybe, because I'm sure they exist.
That was the complaint at Vegas, is that you literally didn't see the cars.
They're gone. How long until they do another lap, too? Now I got to wait, like...
minute and a half, two minutes?
All right. No. Okay. Right.
Who was in first? It looked like a
red car. So what do you guys want to do after this? What should we do for dinner?
At least NASCAR people, it's like the same thing.
You're lapping around. If an accident happens, you're seeing the accident.
I get it, man.
More power to the NASCAR people.
Tom Dundon did a podcast interview to set the record straight.
That's right.
And we'll talk with Eric Gunderson at 7. We'll play the audio clips in the second hour. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, come on down. Welcome to the back-to-back NBA MVP club.
Yes.
As he beat out Jokic, who got second, and Wemby got third.
Not a surprise. The only funny part about this was Shams tweeting it at 7 o'clock in the morning and Amazon getting incredibly butthurt with him for doing so.
Blake Griffin was like, dude, it's Sunday. Go eat brunch, you nerd.
Yeah. I'd imagine the NBA is not thrilled with their MVP after waiting weeks for some reason into the playoffs to announce it.
Talk to an agent, dude.
Having it leaked by Shams at 7 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Probably because he forgot the automated tweet of AM, PM, and it tweeted out at AM instead of PM.
No, I think he wanted to just be the guy who spoiled it. He did that with draft picks. I think he wanted to do that. But he joins the exclusive club of back-to-back MVPs. Talk about an exclusive club here. Now, this is my crack research. Mm. This could be in an article. This could be on a podcast. Somebody could set the record straight on the fan text line, which is 503-864-6326. I'm looking up my research, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of NBA players since 1977. So the start in what I think is the NBA.
Right.
Just coincidentally when the Blazers won the title.
So we got one?
So starting at that point.
We got one!
I am not finding a whole lot of evidence of guys that have won back-to-back MVPs and won the championship back-to-back.
Oh, that's a good point.
The same things have happened to them. And by the way, if they get to the finals and win it, I'd be willing to bet a large sum he's going to be the finals MVP. So you have that mystique as well.
Yes.
But I went through and I looked at league MVPs paired with champions with the back-to-back stuff.
Yeah, what are we talking? Jordan probably did it in the early 90s, I'd imagine.
Jordan did it.
Bird won multiples in a row. Did they win back-to-back titles in that stretch?
Bird did not.
Okay, he won three MVPs in a row.
He won MVPs, but the Celtics
didn't win back-to-back titles.
Back-to-back titles.
Yeah, in the 80s, so from 1980, it went Lakers, Celtics, Lakers, Sixers, Celtics, Lakers, Celtics.
Yeah, no,
he won two and three.
Yeah,
but his back-to-back years didn't line up with championships.
Winning three MVPs in a row is pretty wild.
That's pretty nuts.
Pretty nuts. Yeah, I think Jordan. According to my quick,
there's one more.
Oh, who's the other one?
He's more recent.
More recent.
LeBron.
Actually, wait. Yeah, 12 and 13.
Yeah,
yeah.
He won back-to-back
Thunder
in Miami
and then Spurs.
Okay.
So other than that, dude. Like Karl Malone, Shaq has one MVP.
Shaq's only got one MVP.
Only had one career MVP. Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty
wild. In their
wild.
Three-peat run, it was Karl Malone, Shaq, Duncan. Or no, Shaq, Iverson, Duncan.
Iverson got one in 2000, 2001, the year they made the finals.
I mean, Iverson
and then
probably
won.
Deserved one. I mean, come on. What
and
we
so did
here?
Tim Duncan. Like, yeah. I don't have any issue with that. That's a tough part with all this. It's like there's
Kareem
no
never
right answer.
Had it back.
Didn't
to-
line up for Kareem. Okay. I went and looked it up because Magic ended up winning most of them in the 80s when they won titles. Kareem's were in the 70s.
Kareem's first one, I mean, he won multiple with the Bucks.
Yep.
He won six.
71, 72, and then he won 73, 74 with the Bucks. He did win in 75, 76, 76, 77 with the Lakers, but we obviously won the championship
we won in 77.
One of those years. Mm-hmm. And then he won again his final one in 79, 80 was his last one. So it's only happened two other times.
Isn't that crazy?
That is pretty wild, at least in the modern era.
That's rarefied all-time great era.
Because I'm
right
sure
there.
Bill Russell did it in the 60s, technically.
Yeah,
like,
look,
I'm not saying it's
never happened, but right. I'm starting at a start point of 77. Yeah. If I did 77 as the cutoff and up, twice.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of his game, but there's no disagreeing with the talent level and how skilled of a player he is and how good he is. And there's no, like, I just, these debates are tough because there's no right answer. There's no wrong answer. Like,
well, there's, what are you looking for an answer well, of? Like, he's just going to be in an all-time historical category.
Oh, no, I know, I'm sure. I saw
something.
Some pushback against him winning back-to-back MVPs, which, hey, that's music to my ears because I'm not the biggest SGA guy.
Yeah.
Like, Wemby is a unicorn and does stuff differently than SGA, and he's so much more impactful on one end of the floor than SGA is. But SGA is the better overall offensive player. So how do you gauge that and how do you judge that? I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, Jokic again averaged a triple-double?
I believe so, yeah. So I mean, he got second. So
I know, but another season where you have a center in the NBA averaging a triple-double, and just imagine saying that 15 years ago.
We're numb to the stat.
We're numb to the stat now, which is, but still, like, let's not be numb to the stat. He's a center averaging a triple-double.
So would you not have voted for SGA?
I'm not saying
I
wouldn't have. I'm just saying there's no right or wrong answer to me. Because I saw this debate yesterday of who should win it and he shouldn't win it. This guy should win it. How does Jokic not win it?
He overwhelmingly won it.
He did. He ran away with like a freight train.
I would have voted Wemby.
I'd have no issue voting for
but
Wemby.
The problem with Jokic and Wemby, and I think you can use this on SGA as well, those guys missed time, and their teams, like the Spurs, were plus in differential. Their record was fine. The Nuggets, we thought they were going to crater. They actually held serve, and Jamal Murray had a great run. They got him an all-star bid.
They did.
So I think the hard thing is, like, and I don't know how you quantify value. Like, would the Thunder completely crater into a mountain without him?
No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, but I don't think they get to the finals.
They're not the one seed.
Are the Spurs getting to a finals without Wemby? I mean, you can make that point, I think, for a lot of players in the league.
Yes.
So it's really hard, I think, in this era of how you put value on what each of these guys are. But SGA, he could join rarefied air of back-to-back MVPs and back-to-back NBA champions.
Clippers had to feel good yesterday. We passed on MJ, but at least we didn't trade away a multiple time MVP. Oops.
Damn it. Loaded second hour. Tom Dundon spoke. He did a podcast interview with Max Kellerman and Rich Paul, setting the record straight. Let's talk a little bit about what we heard. We'll play the clips, but we'll kick off hour two with Eric Gunderson, a Blazer banter, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.